If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, you can make a decision today that will change your life. I am Rob West. All you have to do is put God's financial principles into practice and then wait to see what happens. You'll be amazed at the results. I'll talk about how you can do it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, like most things, the first step in making financial changes is admitting you have a problem and then identifying what you're doing wrong. So what's not right with the way you're handling money? Maybe you worry about bouncing a check, or you fear the phone ringing because it might be a bill collector, or you're dealing with the gas or electricity being turned off for non-payment. Maybe you argue with your spouse about money, or you've stopped giving to your church because you're afraid you won't have enough. Those are all signs that something needs to change, and you shouldn't fear that change. It might be a little scary at first, but nowhere near as scary as living paycheck to paycheck. Following God's financial principles will give you welcome relief from worrying about money. Isaiah 43 tells us, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I am doing a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So, how do you begin to bring about this change? Well, first, by dispelling the notion that God's Word doesn't contain everything you need to transform the way you handle money. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Understanding and believing in biblical truth is essential. And the first principle you need to grasp is that God owns it all. In Psalm 24:1, we find, "The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who live in it." When you fully embrace that principle, everything else can fall into place. You won't be consumed with thoughts about the way you're handling your money because it's not yours. Instead, you'll begin to think about managing God's money because you're simply His steward or manager of the resources He's temporarily entrusted to you. And as His steward, God will never abandon you to fend for yourself. He's always with you, and He's promised to provide. Luke 12:24 reads, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more valuable are you than the birds?" Once you believe that God will provide, Scripture becomes your guide for changing the way you think and act about money. Instead of running away from God's financial principles, you'll run to them. The Bible says a lot about spending, saving, investing, and getting out of debt, along with contentment and generosity, everything you need to know for wise money management. Take just one principle to start. Pray earnestly about it. Ask God for strength, discipline, and the desire to carry it out. Maybe that's setting aside a few dollars out of your paycheck, or paying more than the minimum on your credit card, or putting a little more in the collection plate. Pick one and stick with it. Then, when that's a part of your life, you can go on to the next and the next. This is putting principle into practice. You do that with tools and structure, a budget, a will, a long-range financial plan, and so on. Now, if you're not living on a budget, you need to develop a spending plan now. Proverbs 27:23 teaches, "Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds." These days, our herds and flocks are our bank accounts. And there's no better tool for developing a spending plan than the FaithFi app. It uses the tried and true envelope budgeting system to plan and track all of your spending. You can download it in your app store today. Just search for FaithFi. That's Faith FI. It's a modern, simple tool that will give you control over your finances in a way perhaps you've never had. Now, many people find it difficult to change by themselves. They need someone to encourage them and to hold them accountable. As our friend Howard Dayton likes to say, to hold their fuzzy feet to the fire. You may need someone to keep you on track. It could be a spouse, another family member, or friend, but someone to hold you accountable for staying on budget. So, those are the tools you need to start putting God's financial principles into practice. And when you do, you'll see big changes in your life. Perhaps not right away, but be patient. It'll happen. And then you can stop worrying about money, and we hope you'll get started today. All right, your calls are next. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that number 24/7. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When times are good, we often forget about God. But when we're struggling, that's when our pain snaps us back to our senses and we cry out to Him again. Sometimes the Lord answers quickly, but more often, we have to wait. We need to trust Him for His timing. God often uses long seasons of waiting to do good things in us. He's making us more like Christ, but we can rest assured. Our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. To His people, Israel, God said in Exodus, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them." Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we're live today taking your calls and questions on anything financial. We know there's things in your financial life that you're wrestling with. Well, we'd love to talk about those with you and help you process those decisions in light of biblical wisdom, recognizing that God is our ultimate treasure, which really then changes everything about how we manage God's money. Because God owns it all and we're His stewards, money is then a tool to accomplish His purposes. One of His good creations that we might give generously and provide for ourselves and our families and even enjoy what God has entrusted to us. But when we see it as a tool, not an end, a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes, well, it changes everything. Now, when we go about it from that perspective and counteract the message of this world that says that money will allow us to find purpose and meaning, even significance, even fulfill our longings for abundance that are hardwired into us by Creator God, when we counteract those messages and replace God's way instead of that world's way that's coming at us, well, it allows us then to approach our money decisions through that eternal perspective. We want to help you do that each day. We're grateful for the opportunity to be invited into your stories and your questions around money management at a very practical level, and we would invite you to call even now with those questions at 800-525-7000, whether it's balancing that budget or investing for the future. Maybe it's considering alternative investments. Perhaps you're struggling with some of these ads you're hearing about the need to overweight in gold and precious metals. You want to talk about that. Maybe it's getting that credit score up or paying down debt. Whatever it might be, we'd love to tackle those questions with you. The number to call today with lines open, we're ready for you. Pat standing by to take your calls is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll look forward to hearing from you. We're going to dive in here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, fewer Americans are seeing college as a guarantee for a brighter financial future. Well, that's the finding of the new Gallup poll that shows only 36% of adults say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence that a college degree will translate into a better life. That number has steadily declined, interestingly, since 2015, when 57% of respondents viewed higher education as positive. Experts say this is leading to lower enrollment rates, and that doesn't bode well for many fields that require at least an undergraduate degree, such as healthcare and information technology. The major reasons given for declining positive attitudes about higher education are its ever-increasing costs and subsequent student loan debt. While around 75% of students graduating with a college degree go on to earn more than those with only high school diplomas, that benefit is reduced when student debt is factored in. None of this should be a surprise, of course. It just shows the importance of choosing a major that gives you training and skills that employers want, borrowing as little as possible, and, of course, graduating. Now, these trends in terms of the perception of college and its value, alongside the changing demographics, this kind of cliff that we have coming where there's a fall off as we're having fewer babies. Obviously, that means less students available for tuition and for enrollment. That's obviously going to pose some challenges, especially for smaller and oftentimes smaller faith-based institutions who are having to deal with this looming crisis at hand. It's going to be interesting to watch how this all changes, especially in light of more readily available online education. But I think the big idea here that I said right at the end of this bit of information was, number one, make sure that you're thoughtful about how God has wired you. What is that career track you're pursuing? Is there a job waiting for you on the other side of that degree that allows you to be employable? And if you're borrowing, and we would strongly discourage that if at all possible, if you're borrowing, that job gives you the ability to pay that back in a reasonable time period. I would say that reasonable time period, I typically use that 10-year payback mark. If you can get it paid back in 10 years, then you're still early in your career. We're not stringing this out over a long period of time. So just try to use that as a gauge. But again, if you can avoid it through grants and scholarships, by working hard and getting good grades, by working perhaps, you know, during the summers, or even having a job on campus. Perhaps you're a resident assistant like I was. It's going to cover your room and board. I mean, get creative and just don't accept the fact that easy availability of student funds makes it an automatic borrowing opportunity. So be on your guard there. Hope that helps. All right, we're going to dive into your questions here in just a moment. We've got lines open. This is your time to call with your financial questions right now at 800-525-7000. We'd love to help you think about those and make a confident decision. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin with Candy in Wisconsin. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
I have a term life insurance that I've had for years and years and years. It was nice and cheap way back in the day, but
yes.
This year it actually tripled from $24.13 to $67 and something for only $25,000 worth of coverage. So my options were to go down to $15,000 for the coverage, but then it would still be $42 and some cents. Well, I'm wondering if it, and then on top of that, it's supposed to decline $100 per year until there's nothing left. So I'm wondering if I should go with whole life using the same amount that I am paying for this term life, or if I should do it something else.
Yeah, it's a great question, Candy, and I appreciate that. You may have just standard term, which is not intended to be kept beyond the end of the term just because you have a dramatic increase in the premiums, and so at that point you typically drop it. Or you may have something called a decreasing term life insurance policy where it's designed to reduce the death benefit as the outstanding balance on a mortgage or other debt increases, and so over time that death benefit declines. I think the real question here is, do you need life insurance at all? And I realize, you know, often we can struggle just to kind of think through this idea that, wait a minute, I paid on it all this year, all these years, and I'm not going to get any benefit from it. And yet I would challenge that thinking and just say, the reason you had it was to offset a risk during the season where you're building wealth, you're in your working years, where whether you're, you know, if you're married, you know, if one of you, the Lord were to call you home, it would create a hardship for the other because of a loss of income, something like that. And you didn't need it because you're still here. The Lord's not finished with you yet. And so we let it go and we say, well, I had it. I was paying for the death benefit to offset that risk. I no longer have that risk because if I were to pass away, it doesn't create any hardship, you know, on any dependents. And therefore, I can let it go and reclaim that money in my budget. So I guess that would be my question to you is, do you really need it? And what is the death benefit earmarked for? If it's for burial expenses, is there another way to solve for that, namely with other assets that you already have in place? So let's do this. I've got to take a break, but on the other side of this break, Candy, I want to get your thoughts on that, and then we'll figure out where we go from here. Your call is just around the corner. Stay with us. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith Fi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got, looks like, two lines open, 800-525-7000. Call right now with your financial questions. Before the break, we were talking to Candy in Wisconsin. She has a term life policy, and it's becoming expensive. The coverage is diminishing as she gets older, and the premiums have been increasing pretty dramatically. She's wondering about switching to a whole life policy or considering another option. And Candy, I think the first question is, do you really need the insurance in this season of life? So if the purpose of the insurance is to offset a risk, meaning if you were to pass away, there's somebody that would then have a hardship created by your passing, and the death benefit is to take care of that. Is that still a reality, and do you really need this death benefit?
I'm not sure. I don't have a whole lot of retirement benefit.
Okay.
I do have a regular IRA, not a whole lot in there. Yeah. And I have a Roth IRA that I'm thinking of moving it to the Christian Community Credit Union, like into a CD or something. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot.
Yeah. All right. And now, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. And so who is the policy on? Is it on your life payable to your husband or the opposite?
No, it's on mine and would be payable to him.
Okay. And if you were to pass away, does that create any kind of, are you bringing in income that would go away at your passing, anything like that?
I get disability.
Okay.
And Social Security. That's all I get.
Okay.
I had to retire early because in 2021, I almost died twice.
Oh, wow. Well, clearly the Lord still has more planned for you, so we're glad you're still with us. Let me ask you this. If you were to pass away and your disability and or Social Security goes away, does that create any kind of hardship for him, or would he still be able to maintain his lifestyle?
I think he would be able to, he inherited some from his brother. Other than that, I don't know if it would be much, you know, if he would, yeah. He's very frugal.
Yeah, and he has his own Social Security, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he has a very small pension from his last job.
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, if he can live on his Social Security plus his small pension, and he still has some other assets on top of that, he would also, I assume, be the beneficiary of your retirement assets. I realize you say they're modest, but there's something there. And if he's the named beneficiary, then they automatically go to him. They probably would anyway, being your spouse. Then it doesn't sound like there's any kind of hardship created at your passing in terms of him not being able to maintain his lifestyle. Even there's funds available to cover burial expenses for you. So I think at this point, it sounds like to me, especially given this your age, the fact that this policy, if it were replaced, would be fairly expensive, and the policy that you have is becoming increasingly expensive with the death benefit falling, it seems like this is the opportune time to say this policy served its purpose. I didn't need to use it because I didn't pass away, but I'm going to let the policy lapse. And I'm going to reclaim that money every month in my budget because I no longer need it. What do you think about that?
That sounds great.
All right. Well, I mean, I would just think through that and make sure there's nothing I'm missing and talk to him about it before we make that decision, but I'm just not hearing a compelling reason why you need to continue to keep this policy in light of where you are in season of life, the assets that you have, and the state of the policy continuing to increase, which it will continue to do so, and the death benefit declining. So I think that's okay. My best advice for you, Candy. We appreciate your call today, though. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. How can I help?
Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So my husband and I are both educators, and we had changed school corporations and the retirement account that we had at one. We rolled into a new annuity when we moved to another one, and it has, I don't know the correct term, matured, I guess. Come to the 10-year mark where we could do something different with it.
Sure.
It was in a pretty conservative IRA at that time. So it's not really doing anything now for us. I mean, it grows very little, if any, and because it's in a fixed thing. And so we have been asked if we want to put this into a variable annuity. Yeah. It is, upwards of about $90,000. We're still at least 10 years. I mean, we could retire in 10 years from now. We have a window of time to work with it. And we're just wondering what is the best investment option to do with this money.
Yeah. So you certainly could continue to keep it in the annuity environment. They're not all created equal. So I would, spend some time and just make sure you find the one that is the best fit for you. The variable annuity would give you the option to perhaps get a little bit more growth than the guaranteed fixed annuity where you have the fixed rate of return. The variable component allows those investments inside it, basically mutual funds, to grow, and you get the floor on the downside and you get a portion of the upside. Now, given your time horizon, for the average person, I would recommend you roll this out to just a plain vanilla IRA and then hire an advisor to manage this for you. The benefit there would be that they'd have complete discretion over any investments that are best suited to your goals, age, and risk tolerance. You'd have complete access to the money at any point if you need it without any kind of penalties or surrender charges, and you'd get the full upside of the market over the next decade. Yes, you'd get the downside with it, but I think you would, on average, do better investing outside of an insurance product because of the cap on the growth and because you won't have the fees and expenses associated with the annuity. But let's do this. I've got to take a break. I want to get your thoughts on that. So you stay right there, and we'll finish this up on the other side. Jim and Richard coming your way as well. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for being with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you make wise financial decisions in light of a biblical worldview. Taking your calls and questions on all the lines full at the moment. So if you're getting a busy signal, just be patient. We'll get to as many calls as we can between now and the end of the program. Let's head back to Indiana. Before the break, we were talking to Elizabeth. She and her husband are educators. They're about 10 to 12 years from retirement. They've got an annuity that was a guaranteed fixed annuity that's reached the end of its period, policy period. And so they're wondering, should they purchase another annuity, perhaps moving to a variable product so they can get a little bit more return on it, or something else? And Elizabeth, before the break, I was sharing that, you know, for you all, given your time horizon, you've got perhaps 10 years or more till retirement. And then from that point, you know, you still have, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, potentially decades beyond that, that you need this money to last. You know, for the average person, I prefer to invest outside of annuity products. Doesn't mean there's not ever a place for them. But typically, I think getting the full upside that can come with just investing in any stock, bond, or mutual fund, having an advisor do that for you, giving you complete access to the money and a much wider range of investment options, is my preferred option. Often the reason somebody will not choose that and choose an insurance product like a variable or a fixed annuity is because they're concerned about the downside protection, and so they're willing to give up some upside to protect on the downside, even if that, you know, results in, on average, a lower annualized rate of return. But give me your thoughts on all that.
I mean, we're definitely wanting to be careful with the money. It is not our only retirement accounts. With, you know, Indiana teaching with our teacher retirement fund, we've got, you know, a pretty good investment there. So, I mean, yes, we're definitely wanting to grow this money if, you know, that makes sense. If we can make it work for us, that would be great.
Well, so here's the way I would go. I mean, certainly, you know, if you at the end of the day said, we just have greater peace of mind in an insurance product, knowing that there's, you know, downside protection, then you could have an advisor or an agent find a policy for you that would give you good investment growth potential. It does give you some tax deferral, although you already have that with the IRA, so you really don't need that. And then, you know, it could allow you to convert it to a lifetime retirement income to supplement your teacher's retirement. But I think the downside, as I mentioned, is they're complicated. The fees can add up. If you try to take early withdrawals, you could have surrender charges and penalties. And, you know, the contract, you know, you're going to give up at the very least some of the upside, which generally it's those big years that make those average annual returns over a longer period of time more attractive. And you lose those because they take those significant up years and they you know, they cap you at a certain amount, and that's how they give you the downside protection. So what I would do is connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Indiana. Just go into our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional. You can interview any of the certified Kingdom advisors in your area. See if you find one that's a good fit for you, and basically you'd roll that out of the insurance company to an IRA, and then the advisor would manage it. But if at the end of that process, you guys just don't find somebody that you feel like is a good fit and you have more peace of mind in the annuity, then I think rolling it into that variable annuity is certainly another option.
Okay. All right. Well, I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. God bless you. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Mississippi. Jim, you've been waiting patiently, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. How's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. I had told the lady, my wife and I have some money invested in Schwab where we have someone managing it for us.
Yeah.
And we pay them a fee. Yeah. We also have some in Fidelity where it automatically goes into funds that pay the most interest.
Don't have to pay an agent. That's right.
And then we have in two different banks, we have some money in CDs. Well, one of the banks pays 4.60, the other one pays 5 right now. And I'm trying to decide whether to maybe take the money that's in the Schwab that we're paying an agent and putting it into Fidelity, or just leave it like it is. I'm not really sure what to do. I'm not real knowledgeable about all of this stuff, but
yeah,
I was listening to your program and wanted to get your thoughts about it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jim. So you all are 77 and 70, respectively. You're both retired. How much do you have across all of these accounts in investable assets?
You're saying what have we got invested?
Yeah, how much between the Schwab, the Fidelity, and the CDs? What do you have roughly in total?
Oh, let's see, probably 600,000.
Okay. And are you drawing an income off of that, or are you living on other income sources?
We're living off of our retirement.
Okay. So you really, for all intents and purposes, unless something comes unexpected, you're not planning to touch any of that 600,000, right?
That is correct.
All right. And do you have what I call an emergency fund separate from this, or would this be included in the 600?
We have some funds that I would consider emergency if we had to have them.
Okay, good.
We even have some cash that I keep in my gun safe.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, so I think as long as you have sufficient emergency savings, then the real question here is how's the best way to position this? And I realize the interest rates are pretty attractive right now. I mean, you're talking about 4.6 and 5% on CDs, and given that you all don't, quote, need the money, at least not right now. I mean, maybe if you needed long-term care down the road or something. And by the way, 70% of Americans 65 and older will for some period of time, and full nursing care can run $10,000 a month. So there is that major risk down the road that could involve you tapping these funds. But at least for the time being, you don't plan to touch this. Now, if we could count on those 5% interest rates over the long haul, that'd be great. We can't do that. I mean, you can still get above 4 with a 10-year treasury. If you held to maturity, the government would guarantee your principal balance 10 years from now, and they'd give you 4% plus a year, you know, between now and then. And so that is an option, especially given that you don't need to make a lot of money on this money, so to speak. But I guess what I might look at is hiring an advisor. And I realize you're talking about, you know, the things that you have that require you to pay somebody versus the things that you don't. I guess my take on this is whether I'm selling a piece of property and hiring a realtor, or managing my life savings and hiring an advisor, I'd rather pay that 1 to 1.5% a year for somebody to wake up every day thinking about how do I protect and grow modestly this money than doing it myself, unless you're just happy with the, you know, the most conservative end of the spectrum and you're willing to take the 5% right now. But when that's 3% a couple of years from now, you know, you're still willing to take that. Apart from those options, I think having, you know, somebody who's managing a portfolio, typically at age, even age 77, you know, we'd probably say you'd probably want about 35%, 30 to 35% in stocks, because that gives you a growth component. If the market's down or we're in a recession, you don't touch it. But the rest of it, let's say 60 to 70% would be fixed income type investments. So a combination of really high quality government and corporate bonds, maybe some CDs like you've already got, real stable. And by the way, those bonds will increase in value as the interest rates fall, which is going to happen at some point, probably in the next year, if not sooner. So that would be my approach. But I want to get your thoughts on what I just shared, and we'll do that after the break. Stay with us.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. So the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
So your hands are covered in gunk, and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day, or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/alexa-skill. Then, your AFR wish is Alexa's command.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Jim in Mississippi. He and his wife are 77 and 70, respectively. They're retired. They've got about $600,000 spread across a Schwab account, a Fidelity account. One of those has an advisor attached to it. They've also got some CDs. Just wondering, what's the best approach moving forward? And Jim, as I was sharing, you know, I like the idea in this season of life, especially where you all are at, in that this is money you're not living on. So this money is free to grow until at such point in the future you need it. Getting it invested, but having the lion's share, perhaps as much as 70% in things like you already have right now, CDs, but maybe adding some really high quality government and corporate bonds, and then a very small, maybe 20 to 30, 35% at the most stock allocation to give you some growth. Because with inflation, we want to, you know, maintain a reasonable rate of return to offset the loss of purchasing power that comes with inflation as things are getting more expensive. And we're feeling the effects of that now more than ever. But it does, I think, require that you have an advisor who can look after and make decisions on managing this money. And there is a cost to that. So give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, as I mentioned, we have some money in Schwab where we do have an agent hired to manage it for us.
Sure, sure.
And it's doing pretty good. It's not in a high risk situation.
Yeah.
But the money that we put in Fidelity, which is started off at 50 and now it's around 80,000. It's actually doing much better, drawing much higher interest than the money with Schwab.
Yeah.
And I know all that fluctuates, but still I wondered whether I should stick with the Schwab with the advisor.
Yeah.
Or
I probably would, and here's why. I mean, I certainly get that the portion in the fixed investments have done well, and it's just been we're in an unusually high interest rate environment right now, and we've had a stock market that has done well, but it's been fairly it's been led by some highly concentrated high growth companies that have been the lion's share of the gains in the market, even though we've seen greater what they call breadth as of late, as more stocks are participating, small caps and mid caps, things like that. So I can understand why that portfolio hasn't performed quite as well. If he owned bonds in it, he or she, the advisor, those were decreasing in value as the interest rates are rising, which again is unusual. So I think it's just a little bit of a situation where, you know, it's been an atypical environment. And I like the idea of you being diversified among various investments. So I'd probably at the very least stick with the mix that you have now, where, you know, you'd stay with the advisor that's done well, allow that to continue to be have maybe a more growth component to this thing that will do well in the future, and then continue to invest the way you have. And you're going to find that in a couple of years, you probably won't be able to get as attractive of interest rates as you have until this point. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I appreciate your advice.
Sure. Absolutely, Jim. May the Lord bless you, sir. We appreciate your call today. Well, we're going to take a moment here and shift gears here in our final segment. Once a month, we're joined by one of the team members of the American Family Association Foundation. Today, we have the privilege of talking to Chelsea Wildman. She's associate director of the AFA Foundation. And, you know, folks, this is such a wonderful opportunity for those of you who are listening regularly. You love AFR. You have been following American Family Association for a long time. And as you think about stewarding what God has entrusted to you, whether that's through current giving to American Family Association or deferred giving through bequests and other creative giving vehicles that could even provide you an income source in your retirement season of life, that's where the AFA Foundation really shines. Chelsea, great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Rob.
Absolutely. You know, we cover a lot of different aspects and giving opportunities from the foundation when you join us. Today, we want to dial into a couple of things specifically. First, Chelsea, I want you to explain to those listening, first of all, what a charitable gift annuity is, and then we're going to talk about a creative way to fund those.
Yes, absolutely. So a charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association, and in exchange, you receive a fixed income for life. That income is dependent upon how old you are at the time that you give the gift, as well as when you start to receive that income. So obviously, the sooner you put it in place and any amount of time that you wait will be a higher percentage for you, but that is fixed. It's not going to go up or down with the market, and that is for the rest of your life. You can have one life or two on there. If you are married, you're certainly welcome to put your spouse on there, and that would continue for the rest of your life. You get some wonderful tax benefits. You get a tax deduction, a partial tax deduction, the year that you give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when you start receiving those payments. So it's a great vehicle to put some, you know, extra funds into a charitable gift annuity, give back to AFA, as well as receive an income for life for you. Once you pass away, any remaining funds are then gifted to AFA. So that's that charitable aspect of the giving with the charitable gift annuity.
Yeah, and that's great, Chelsea. It was a great explanation. And here's why I love this tool, folks. It really brings together so many of the things that I know by talking to you all every day on this program you're looking for. You know, so many of our listeners are looking for income in this season of life. And as Chelsea mentioned, a CGA gives you that guaranteed income for life. You're looking to fund the causes that are on your heart and the heart of God. Clearly, you're passionate about the work of the American Family Association, and you're looking to minimize taxes. And And that's what a CGA provides as well. So it brings all of these together. Now, Chelsea, of course, you can fund these with cash, but an added tax benefit is available when you fund a CGA with non-cash assets, specifically for our conversation today, stocks. Share with us about that.
Yes. So if you have some appreciated stocks that you'd like to, you know, get out of your portfolio, you can certainly gift those for a charitable gift annuity. Now, first, you can do just an outright gift with that stock if it's appreciated. That's going to get that out of your portfolio as well as give you that tax deduction. Now, with the charitable gift annuity, you can give us a call. We can run some figures, let you know what your income could be, what your tax deduction and everything would be once you transfer that. So once you do that, you would put the call into your broker or agent. They would transfer that to us. Then we sell the stock, and that is what your charitable gift annuity is funded with. Then we put it together your income, and you would receive that again for life. But you, if there are capital gains, that would be spread out through the life of the annuity. So that is helpful for a tax break for you. And Rob, you can go into a little bit more detail about that.
Yeah, it's a great point, Chelsea. You know, so this is, folks, for those of you who have stocks or mutual funds that you've held a year or longer, and you can use them to fund your gift annuity. And by doing so, as Chelsea said, you can avoid a significant portion of the capital gains taxes. The remaining gain is then equally allocated over several years of your annuity payments. But again, it's a way to generate an income stream for life, get a partial tax deduction, avoid part of the capital gains on that appreciated stock, and then ultimately benefit the American Family Association at your death with whatever is left. And so again, we get wins all across the board that align well with what you're looking for. And Chelsea, this can be done multiple times. I know you all work with donors and givers who have done multiple charitable gift annuities over the years, right?
Absolutely, yes. Many of our donors come back. We have one that I believe has 8 charitable gift annuities. Wow. With us. So that's just, I feel, a testament to our foundation and the work that we do here. And we just enjoy getting to meet and speak with our donors as well as help them in those, like you said, seasons of income need.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, some folks are listening today and saying, well, I have no idea what kind of income you could generate from the gift that I have based on my age. And that's just part of what you all do. You can run those illustrations for them, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. Again, that's 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. We would love to speak with them, run some personalized figures for their situation. The minimum gift annuity is $2,000. Now, the income on that, you know, don't get too excited. It's not going to be, you know, a great amount, sure. But that is our minimum. So it just goes up from there.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of folks may be listening today saying, well, this isn't for me because I don't have $500,000 or $100,000 to put in. And I know even your average gift is lower than that, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So our average gift, I would say, is anywhere from, you know, $10,000 to $25,000 for a charitable gift annuity. That's average, but there are lower amounts and there sure. are higher amounts. So that's a great place to start and a great idea to get a minimum and it just goes up from there according to your situation.
Well, it sure does. Folks, here's the bottom line. This could be a great tool for you if you're in this season of life. And if you missed everything we said and it didn't totally compute and you still have lots of questions, the great news is Chelsea and Riley and Jessica and the team at the American Family Association, they're patient. They'll explain it to you. They'll run illustrations. They'll walk alongside you. And I'd be even willing to participate in those conversations if it's helpful to you. So don't hesitate to reach out. Again, Chelsea, that web address and phone number?
Yes, afafoundation.net, phone number 1-800-326-4543. 4543, extension 345, or if email is better, foundation@afa.net.
Awesome. Thanks, Chelsea. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.